Good morning, church family. Blessed are they who come before Almighty Jesus. May this Sunday service be a reminder of our love for you. Give strength to those who teach us today. Give strength to the faithful. Give strength to those who have doubt. And let us also show our love for you through joyous song. Amen.
Come, all ye sinners, come find His mercy. Come to the table, He will satisfy. Drink of His goodness, find what you're looking for. God so loved, God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. Bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. Can't you see His open arms? For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever and ever and ever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, for the wonders of His love. Praise God, praise God, praise God, for the wonders of His love. Praise Him, for the wonders. His amazing love. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. Addiction, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. Amen. 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 Give Him some glory. Give Him.
You know, there is nothing in God but love and goodness. Love. There's forgiveness. There's some grace in there, right? I love You, Lord, for Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head,
I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
The goodness of God, yes.
Your voice, you will lead me through the fire. On dark of night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing, sing of the goodness of God. It's running after me. Oh, your goodness keeps running after me. Where my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. Oh, your goodness keeps running after. Running after me, oh, your goodness keeps running after me. If my life's laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Oh yeah, your goodness keeps running after me. No, my life. You have been faithful.
Shut your eyes for a minute. Sing to him.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
The goodness of God, yes!
And all my love you have been faithful, Lord.
Yes.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing, sing of the goodness of God.
the goodness of God. Amen. Glorify His name. There's none like You, O Lord. There's none like You. If you need to sit down, it's too bad. We're going to keep praising God. If you need to, go ahead. But I'd like to stand when I'm praising God. This one. There's only love in the heart of God. Can see it in your eyes. Pull back the curtain, let down your disguise. Whoever told you you're not worth the fight? The cross tells a story that'll change your mind. 'Cause there's only no room for shame in your battle. Immaculate of my ashes, so come as you are. 'Cause there's only love in the heart of God. Prodigal children, it's never too late. Run on to the Father, let Him clothe you with grace. And bury your burden, break free from your fear. Step out of the shadow, there's no judgment there. 'Cause there's only love in the there's only, only love, the heart of God. Oh, only love. Oh, oh. Shaking His head, writing you off and leaving you lost. He's not sitting there shaking His head. He went to that cross. He went to that cross. Yeah, 'cause He loves you, loves you so much. My God, He loves you, loves you so much. My God, He that's our God, amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Now give Him an applaud like He's in His, we're in His presence right now. Amen. Amen. Praise Your name, O Lord. Glorify You, Jesus. You're high and lifted up, O Lord. There's none like You, O Lord. None like You. You know, we should praise Him with reckless abandon. on our tiptoes with our arms stretched as high as we can go. One day we won't be going, praise God, praise God. One day we'll be in His presence. There'll be no need for the sun or the moon because His presence will be giving us light. Amen?
Amen.
He will be right there. He said, I will be your God. There'll be no more priests between us, no more preachers between us. God will be right there. Amen? What a wonderful time. And that's going to be so. We'll praise Him without caution. Amen?
Yeah. Right.
And you hold my heart. I will remember who you are, God. The constant light that leads me through the dark. Oh, I won't forget who you are. Oh, I give you my heart, give you my head, I give you my soul, all that I am, give you my praise, sing you my song, without caution, give you all my. Thank you. the battle of my praise and give it all without restraint. I waste my life for you. Oh, I won't forget, I won't forget what you've done. I won't, oh, I won't forget, I won't. I'll give you my heart, give you my head, sing that with me, give you my soul, all that I am, give you my praise, sing you my song, without caution, without caution, give you all my give you my heart, give you my head, I give you my soul, all that I am, give you my praise, sing you my song, without caution, give you all my love without caution, give you all my love. Amen. All my love, oh Lord. All my love. All my love. All my love. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this time, oh Father. Just Holy Spirit, thank you for permeating this room, Lord. Lord, thank you for inhabiting our worship, oh Lord. The presence of God is such a wonderful thing, Lord. And we thank you so much for that this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, speak every word, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
All right. With that, I thank God for bringing us a wonderful sister to share the word with us. And honestly, I've not heard Daniel spoken like that to that level before. So thank you so much. And now I'm excited and looking forward to what you have to share with us today. Thank you.
Well, it's a joy to be back here, and honestly, I was so surprised Pastor let our worship team join us today, so I feel like I'm at home and here at the same time, so it's like the best of both worlds, and so thank you, Pastor Steve, for loaning us out to this beautiful congregation. If you open your Bibles to John chapter 15, we're going to be looking at chapters 15 and 16. We're going to talk about a valedictorian valedictorian speech. When you graduated from high school, the last thing you heard was from your peer who graduated at the top of the class. Guess who our valedictorian is? It's Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 15, Jesus is looking at Gethsemane. He's just a couple days away. This is the last word that he gave to his beloved. That's you. These are the words that Jesus thought were so important that he gave them as the last big push, the last big message, the last important teaching that he wanted us as the church to grasp and hold on to. There's already been a triumphal entry. And I was laughing when Roger's like, yeah, we're going to have our hands up there. That's what they were all doing. They're like, woo, woo, woo. Yeah, man, Jesus came in. He came in with power. Everybody's doing the whole waving the fronds of palm leaves and cheering and throwing down their coats. And they're, yay, team. Finally. Finally, the Messiah has come. Yes, we're going to be on top. We're going to win. And then there's the party at the Passover feast. And they're having a good time. And they're saying, man, I'm better than you. Amen. When he comes into his kingdom, I'm going to be sitting on his right. No, I'm going to be sitting on his right. Well, I'm going to sit on his left. And they're in there and they're stuffing their faces and they're knocking back the wine and having a great Seder dinner. And Jesus just came in and rained on their parade. Right in the middle of the party. What is he thinking? All of a sudden, he bends down and he takes the top of his cloak off and he gets on the floor and starts washing his disciples' feet, not saying a word, just down there. Their dirty feet. The master of the universe. The Messiah. The one that just entered in triumph is washing feet. What was he thinking? One by one, the party ends. One voice, one man, one set of feet being washed until the room is quiet. And he gets to Peter. And Peter says, seriously, you think you're going to wash my feet? No, not on my watch. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, son, you can't be a part of my kingdom. And Peter's like, well, then let me dive in. I want to take a whole bath. And Jesus says, no, learn this lesson. You're clean except for your feet. What is that supposed to mean? And so they're all whispering to each other. Oh, man, here he goes down one of those rabbit trails. We don't know what Jesus is doing. Why does he have to be raining on our parade? I want you to notice the last verse of John 14. Come now. Let us leave. Let's leave the party. Let's leave the celebration. Let's get away from the folks that don't really know us that well. Come, my beloved. Come with me. Let's leave this place. Well, first of all, Judas Iscariot has left the room. Who are the Judas Iscariots? Well, they're the false converts. The ones that can come into our congregations and act like they're part of us. The ones who like to join in on all the work days and the helping out in the kitchen and being part of the Bible studies. And they're always there, but they're never part of the Savior. They show up with their own agenda. Sure, they attend church because it makes them have warm fuzzies. How many got warm fuzzies with Roger and the team were singing? I did. They come to church for the warm fuzzies. Or they come for the social connection. It's kind of like their version of the Elks Club. Show up for a meal. Get to know folks. Say, hey, it's good to see you. What's happening in your life? It's a social event. False converts. It looks good on their resume. Yes. I attend the Fortuna Church of the Nazarene. I'm a very holy person. Right? Do-gooders who think they can earn their way to redemption, who somehow in their confused brain think they can do something to earn God's saving, redemptive grace. Just a hint, you're wrong. Do-gooders burn out because they're not connected to the Savior. Deconstructionist, I hear it all the time. It's on the internet, it's on Facebook, it's in books. I'm asking myself, I've been in ministry a really, really, really long time. In fact, when I started in ministry, the Dead Sea was only ill. And I have never heard about deconstructionism until the last couple of years. And the thing that rocks my world is if you ask these people that have left the Christian faith why, they always build a straw man and then they knock it down. And I think in my head, you never ever understood the heart of the Christian faith to begin with. You couldn't possibly. Because if you understood it, you would have been so radically changed that you wouldn't have walked away. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. But I do believe that if you come to God Almighty with your face on the floor, take the pride, check it out the door, and you say to God, woe is me. That's what happens when you stand in the presence of a holy God. Woe is me. Isaiah 6:5. Woe is me because I am what? Ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. That's what happens when you meet a holy God. It's not like, I think I'll go to church. Yeah, I like warm fuzzies. Looks good on my resume. No! You're on your face! You are in full color, lighted, no darkness, presence of God. And frankly, you're like a cockroach in his sight. When I lived back in Georgia, my youngest daughter had a great love for air freshener. She found it as the cure to all bug diseases. And I don't know if you've ever been to the South, but we like to grow our cockroaches big. And I'm a very light sleeper. It'd be 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'd hear. And I'd get up and think, what is she spraying now? And she'd have her lemon pledge or her lemon pretty smelling air freshener, and she'd be killing the cockroaches with the air freshener. She would get up to use the bathroom and then a little night flick on the light and all the cockroaches there, but she always came armed. Never went into the bathroom without air freshener. And the poor little dead guys with their arms crying for mercy, and she had none. Compared to God, we are of the cockroach variety. Ew. Ew. Don't belong. But when you meet the God of creation, the God who made you, who named you before time even began, who saw you and put you in your mother's womb so you would be here this day at this time in history to do his will, that's the guy who we hit the ground and say, woe is me, for I am ruined. I have seen the face of a holy God. It puts perspective in your life, doesn't it? John 15, Jesus' last words to his disciples. I am the true vine. My dad, he's the gardener. He cuts off every branch. I'm going to tell you right now, my favorite professors were on the New Testament committee that translated the NIV version that I'm reading, but they got that one wrong because that is not what it says. It says he lifted up the branch. Remember that. We're going to come back to that. While every branch that does bear fruit, what does he do? He gets out the limb loppers. He prunes them. Why? So that it will be even more fruitful. He's talking to the beloved now. Judas has left the building. There are no false converts. It's the beloved that he's talking to. And out of the deepest love of his heart, Jesus is saying to us, I am the vine. God, Abba Father, he's the gardener. And us, we're the branches. And it's springtime and it's pruning time. It's pruning time. Very curious, verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. We're talking about people that are born again. People that have settled the issue, who is Lord? Jesus. He's my Messiah. I believe he is the Son of God. Basement level stuff. It's step one. It's a huge step. But they're already what? Clean. Because of the word. Who is the word? Jesus. Because of the word he has spoken into their lives. Verse 4. Remain in me. As I remain in you. Woo. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is the foundation of which Christ is laying for the beloved. That's you. I am the vine. The Father, he's the gardener with the lopping tools. You must be growing out of me. There's no water. There's no food. There's no life if you are not connected to the true vine. Amen. I am the vine. God is the gardener. The actual word means to lift up the vine. Now, I don't know how much time you spent in Napa. And that county has got grapevines everywhere. I have a lot of family that lived in that area. And so I was used to driving by all the different seasons, the ugly season, when the gardener gets out there and rips every leaf off. The growing season, spring, when all the little branches start popping out of the vine. But that happens when the winter rains are still coming. And guess what the natural bent is for the vines coming off the main vine, the branches? Guess what their bent is to do? Get down in the mud. Get down in the dirt. And when the storms of life begin to rage, and the rains come down and the mud comes up, the leaves that have been bent away from the vine get weighted down with mud and get caked with dirt. And they begin to feel the pull. It's pulling them away from the vine. And what does that gardener do? He grabs a bucket. That's your Father. God Almighty. Father of all creation. He grabs a bucket full of water, and what does he do? He gets down and starts washing the leaves off in the bucket. He doesn't hack them off. He washes them, and he says, uh-oh, we got a little mildew on that one. And he tears the mildew off the leaf. And the leaf's like, ow! And the Father said, that's going to poison you. That's got to go right now. You got to wash off those filthy, dirty things that have pulled you down into the mud. That's what a good gardener does. He nurtures the vine. He doesn't go hacking it off. How do I know that? I read the rest of the chapter. John 15, 5 through 8. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will what? Bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. How's your fruit? Feeling a little light today? Where's your fruit? If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. I'll let you work with that metaphor to its logical ending. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, in your heart, ask whatever you wish. Seriously? And it will be done for you because this is my Father's glory. That means you. When you're bearing fruit, it testifies not just to the Son, but to the gardener, your heavenly Father. And he sits back and he smiles at you and says, good job, little branch. Way to bear fruit. He's not going to hack you off. But if you get disconnected from the vine, where do you end up? Fire bin is not a place I recommend that you go to. I don't know if you've ever followed Messianic Jewish online stuff. I follow several of them on YouTube because I like to know what the Lord is doing around the world to win his chosen people, the Jews, back to Christ. And a week ago, one popped up on my YouTube feed, and I watched it. Katya and Dima, Messianic Jews, who got a call 25 years ago to go to Israel and live out a Christ-like existence on the border of Gaza. In a kibbutz. They did not speak Hebrew. They knew nothing about the culture. They were from a completely different nation. But God called them. There was no church paying their way. They were not missionaries. They were God's sent ones, which is missionary. And they struggled to learn the language. And they struggled to learn the culture. And they struggled to eat. And their little kids grew up. And they kept hearing bombs go off from the border, and it got weary, and people would leave, and Katya would say, God, I am so tired of this. Are we done yet? Can we go? And the father said, honey, I need you to stay. And if you will be faithful and stay connected to Jesus, I will bless you. And God provided for them to buy a home in a small kibbutz on the border of the Gaza Strip. And they began to have people just come into their home. And they began to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And year after year, God was faithful. Was it ever easy? No. But God was faithful. And Katya and Dima raised their kids. All of them were out of the house except their youngest, 16, 17. They were getting ready for a huge party. It was October 7th. The kibbutz was celebrating the 70th anniversary of this birthing of this kibbutz. And they woke up at 6 a.m. and they're hearing gunfire. But what was weird is they didn't hear the siren. And they didn't hear the soldiers. And it got confusing. And all of a sudden they realize something is wrong. Their phones are blowing up. Everybody's texting. Did you hear that? Where are the soldiers? There's people firing guns. People are entering our homes. People are being killed and pulled out of cars. And every home has at least one safe room. But the terrorists know that. So they go to the safe room and they either blow the door off or they shoot in there and kill everybody in the room and they move on. And she ran one way. Her teenage son, they had a second room close to his house. They went the other way. Their college-age kid was out with three of his friends at another location. And all their lives are coming to the end. Just like Jesus. His life's coming to the end. And these are the words that he wanted to share with us. The most important thing that he could think of to reiterate into our lives. And that mother, Katya, is sitting down with her husband on the floor. They've got cameras everywhere, outside and inside the house. And they watch the terrorists kill their neighbors and break into their own house. And everybody's panicking. And the Holy Spirit said to Katya, stand your ground. And on that day, on October 7th, 2023, Katya joined the angel armies. And she rose up and fear was gone. And she began to call down from the powerhouse of God. God sent angels to my son and those friends. Protect them now. I command it in the name of Jesus. God, surround this house. It is your temple. It is your holy place. Surround this home. Confuse the terrorists. Do not let them hurt this sacred place. And it's all on tape. I suggest you watch it. Go to One Israel. They bust the window to get in, and they cut themselves all up. There's blood all over her house, and it's all the terrorists. And the whole time she's praying, her teenage son, who's by himself in that room, paralyzed with fear, and she says, son, stand your ground. Do nothing. The Lord will fight this battle. Her college-age son, who's out there with no protection, she said, stand. Do not fear. God is with us. And if we all die, we'll all meet together again at his feet in 3 or 4 minutes. Don't worry about it. God is in control. That's a lady who's connected to the vine. If you Google it, you will see the terrorist walking around, and she's watching on her phone the security cameras, and they go in every bedroom and open the door. They open every closet and go in, and then they come to the safe room where her son is terrified on the floor, waiting to meet Jesus face to face. And they turn their backs. They can't see the door. And they begin to wander around, and they're confused and disoriented. And you watch the videos, they're just kind of like, where am I? What am I doing? Everybody else is being machine gunned down, but the house of the Lord? The terrorists were the only ones bleeding. They never found the door to the safe rooms. They were so confused when they left their bullets on the couch. That's what it means to be grafted into God and be a part of the vine. When God says, stand, the angel armies stand with you. And no matter the outcome, You're either going to be with Jesus here or Jesus there. Who cares? You don't have that kind of attitude by being a false convert. Well, let's see what else Jesus has to say. Verse 9, chapter 15. As the Father has loved me. What happened here? We were talking about vines and connection. Now he's talking about love. What's love got to do with it? Y'all hear that song in your head? As the Father has loved me, that's how I love you. An outrageous, incomprehensible love. Woo, that's a good love to have. Now, you folks, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy will be complete. Sorry, I promised I wouldn't whack the microphone, and I just did it. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my command. This is not a suggestion. This is not an optional choice for you. This is the number one command for the people who call themselves disciples of Jesus Christ. What is that? This is the command. Love each other. You mean I have to love Fred? Ew. I have to love Brother Roger back there? And Mrs. Roger, Debbie? I have to love them? Oh, no, not that. Yes. It's a commandment, not a request, not a suggestion. It's the number one proof that you're a born-again Christian, that you love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Anybody that's not you. Think about the most obnoxious person in your life. That's the one you gotta love. I don't know. Jesus is losing me here. All this loving stuff. You don't know my enemies. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down your life for one's friends. Think of that obnoxious person again. No greater love is there than you lay your life down for that annoying, obnoxious neighbor. That's how you tell the real thing from the false thing. Well, this is pretty good stuff. You are my friends. You're the friend of God Almighty? Yeah. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants. He was just doing what? He was washing their feet. That's the job of the servant, not the master. I don't call you servant. Instead, I have called you my friend. Jesus looks at you and is not, oh, what a jerk. What a screw up. Have you seen what this guy did this week? Have you heard what he was thinking this week? Did you see what she was looking at this week? No. He looks at you and says, if you obey my commandments, you're my friend. And I will lay down my life for you. And he did that. He did that very thing. Well, I learned from my Father, and I've taught it to you. But I chose to appoint you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, there's that thing again. I can do what? I can ask anything in his name. Jesus, I don't want any traffic on my way home today. Well, are you really doing that in his name? Or is that your celestial Santa Claus and you're writing your wish list? You understand the difference of asking something in Jesus' name, the holy God, the one that you should reverence above all else? When it says fear the Lord, it means respect the Lord above all else. That's what comes out of your mouth. Katya said, send the angels to protect my sons. Confuse the terrorists. Protect this house that is your church and this family that has been your servant for 22 years in this mission field. People who attach themselves to a congregation and are not connected to the source of life have no fruit. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how connected they are in the community. I don't care how awesome, and they may be your mentor. But if there's no fruit, they are false converts. You must be born again. That only comes through the words spoken by the Word. Well, what about these false converts? Revelation 21:8 says, folks that aren't producing fruit don't have the Holy Spirit, so it means they're cowardly, unbelieving, vile, murderers, sexually immoral. They look at porn. They fornicate. They're adulterers. They practice gay, lesbian, non-binary, transgender, sexual immorality. Practicing magic arts, yoga. Who do you think you're clearing your mind for? It's not Jesus. Ouija boards, Wiccan festivals, Ferndale fairy festivals. That's practicing magic arts. Idolatry. Worshipping money. Worshipping your video game. Worshipping YouTube. Worshipping the news. Worshipping the Republicans. Worshipping the Democrats. Idolatry. And all liars. So cowardly, unbelieving, vile, murderous, sexually immoral, practicing magic arts, idolaters, all liars. What's going to happen to them? They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Not a happy place. I don't recommend you go there. Jesus promised us, not just commanded us to love, but he also promised us in that last speech, the last verses of chapter 15, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he is the one that will testify about me and say, I am the one, the way, the truth, and the light. The Spirit of truth who goes out from who? The Father. He will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Wow. Let's go down to chapter 16, verse 13 and 15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. You getting a pattern here? He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify who? Me. If it's not glorifying Jesus, it's not the truth. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he makes known to you. Apparently, this Holy Spirit thing is kind of important, wouldn't you think? 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will be made known to you. You seen how the Trinity works? We don't serve three gods. We serve one God. Three persons who work in absolute perfect unity. And that's why Jesus says, abide in me. Stay connected to the vine, and you'll begin to grasp the meaning of the Trinity. God is in Jesus. Jesus is in God. God sends the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells them what to say. And you branches out there, what you're hearing from the Holy Spirit comes straight from the mouth of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is some good theology. I'm doing good today. Woohoo! Okay. That's right. Let's go to verse 23. Let's find out more about this Holy Spirit stuff. In that day, you will no longer ask me for anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Till now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive. And your joy will be what? Broken? Miserable? Awful? No! Complete. So there's a completion that happens when you meet Jesus face to face. In Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus is standing with his disciples, and he's about to be ascended into heaven. And this is the last words he says to them before his ascension. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised you, which you have heard me speak about. For John, he baptized with water. But in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Command number one, love. End of story. No other discussion. If you are a born-again Christian, you will love even the terrorists that are in your home looking to kill you. Command number two, go to Jerusalem and wait for that advocate, for that counselor, for that Holy Spirit. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. They're all like, here we go again. Jesus tells another thing we don't get. These are the same guys that hid in a room out of abject terror when Jesus was crucified, and after he'd risen from the dead, they still didn't pop their heads out. They stay hidden. And they snuck out of their house because Jesus says he was leaving, but they're out there looking. Is there anybody know we're out here? And Jesus says, go to Jerusalem. That's command number two. Not optional. Not up for discussion. You will obey. Watch out, because when the Holy Spirit comes into the heart of a saved human being, they get radicalized. They do. They forget about fear. They forget about cowardice. They forget about idolatry and sexual immorality because God goes in there with that Holy Spirit and says, I want to be Lord. Are you willing to give me every last bit of you? And your answer should be, yes, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. And then look out. Because the same men that were in terror, hiding in the upper room, went on the steps of the temple in front of the most dangerous and powerful people that had just put Jesus to death 10 days earlier and preached a spirit-filled, on fire for God message that was heard in every language of the people standing there that day. Everybody heard it in their mother tongue. Jesus's mother tongue is Aramaic. When he prayed to the Father, I promise you he was praying in Aramaic, not Hebrew. He learned Hebrew in school. You may have learned Spanish and French and who knows what else in school. But when you pray in your mother tongue. That day, Peter preached to 3,000 strangers who all heard it in their mother tongue. And they left that place and changed the world. God, he's called you. But some of you are not feeling peace and joy this morning, not deep down in your heart, honestly. You're not. Because your little vine branches, you just threw a nasty winter, and you're covered in muck, and you're stuck down in the gravel, and you're feeling and smelling a little mildewy this morning. Some of you are not living a life of self-control, quite the opposite. If statistics are correct, 1/3 of this congregation is spending time looking at porn on the internet every day. If statistics are true, and they are, 1/3 of the people in this room are addicted to porn. That's not self-control. It's being controlled. Can you honestly say you're living a life of love? Do you ever get on the phone and annihilate people's character after Sunday morning service? Did you see what she was wearing? Did you hear what he was doing? Ooh, I smelt a little booze on that guy's breath. He must have been partying last night. Character assassination, folks, is murder. And it's not demonstrating self-control. That's what people who are false converts do. Because if you're born again, you need to be living and practicing the life of love. Jesus says to us this morning, come back. Reconnect with me. God is saying, I got my bucket of water right here. You hurting? You feeling stuck in the mud? You got a little mildew? Come. Let me wash that off. Let me wrap you back up the trellis so you can follow the vine and begin to produce the fruit that is eternal. What's your fruit look like? I love the picture of Jesus and the Father bringing the bucket to wash the dirt off of you. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It means you went through winter and you need to pluck some mildew off. Maybe you've been living the life of Judas in this congregation. Maybe you've never, ever bowed your pride before the God of the universe and said, woe is me, for I am ruined because I have looked at the face of God. And I am a man and a woman of unclean lips and unclean thoughts. And I live in a group of people of unclean spirit. Jesus is standing right there. It's not hopeless. Hear that? That's Jesus been knocking at your heart door the whole time. Wake up. Wake up. You're facing eternity without me. I don't recommend the lake of fire. It was never made for you. It was made for Lucifer. It was made for those out of perfection created sin. Not for you. Maybe you have repented of your sin. Maybe you have experienced Jesus' life-changing salvation in your heart. But have you tarried in Jerusalem? Have you waited on the Lord to bring the infilling of His Holy Spirit to deal with this fighting? I want to do this, but I'm doing that, and always back and forth, and I'm not sure what to do. Have you tarried in Jerusalem? Because this is not a suggestion. It is a command. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came in and through His words cleansed your heart and made you white as snow, He turned you into a Ferrari. But to not have the Holy Spirit is like you got the door open, you got the transmission neutral, and you're trying to push the Ferrari through life. That's a Christian without the Holy Spirit's power. You need to be entirely sanctified. You need to take that old man's sin that you were born with and root it out. Not a suggestion, a commandment. The Holy Spirit is the source of your power, Christian. And if you are operating a Ferrari without gas, I highly recommend you connect to the high octane of being sanctified again. Being filled with that Holy Spirit and empowered so you can stand up for 3,000 people and preach in their mother tongue. Even if you only speak English. When your family has terrorists at the door, a possibility, if you listen to INS News, coming to your door with their AK-47, can you say to God, I am part of the angel army, send the angels out, and they'll obey? Is that where your walk is today? Worship team, if you'll come. Jesus' valedictorian speech was real simple. You all are getting ready for graduations. The disciples had no idea. I'm afraid some of you don't either. These are the end times, folks, and these are not the times to be playing with the devil. It's not the time to be walking a Ferrari around instead of driving it. These are not the days that Jesus had envisioned for you, living in dirt, living with mildew. These are the days that the Father says, come. I got a bucket right here. Amen. I'll clean you up. Jesus says, I don't care what sin you've done. Been there, seen it all. Come, because my blood will cleanse you of all unrighteousness and make you white as snow. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm here. If you would just tarry a bit, I'll rip that divided mind right out of you, and I'll put high octane Holy Spirit empowerment into you. That's your choice. Let's bow our heads. The altar's open. If you need the Lord to clean up the ravages of a winter storm in your life, come. Come meet your Father who wants to wash you and wind you right back up to Jesus. If you're just like Judas, you're a part of this congregation, but you're not connected to the vine, and you want to know what it is to be born again, come and meet your Savior at this altar. If you've been pushing a Ferrari around and you're exhausted, let the Holy Spirit gas you up and change you for all eternity into His daughter, into His son that is empowered to go forth and bear fruit that will last for all eternity. Brother Roger is going to play. Come. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you, come.
Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more, your grace is found. Is where you are, Lord, I'm there. Holiness is Christ in me.
Let's all stand.
Lord, I need you. Oh. My righteousness, oh God, now I need you. So teach my song to rise to you.
Yes, Father God.
When temptation comes my way, I cannot stand or fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and Savior. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Father God, we have heard your word this morning. We have felt your Spirit's presence. And we know that your will is done. Father God, challenge us in this week to go deeper into you, to experience your healing power, to experiencing the power that comes only through the Holy Spirit. This week, make this group of branches bear fruit so that the Father can look at them with joy and say, those are my kids. I'm proud of them. I will bless them in their faithfulness as they are faithful to me. May God go with you. May God bless your family. May God bless all that you do this week in His name and for His glory. And the church said, amen. You are dismissed. Amen.